study this evening. And I am most excited about venturing on this journey with you tonight. Now, the gospel of Jesus is the very foundation of what I'm staking my eternal life upon. And what we're going to learn through this study is we're going to learn how to present the gospel. And I want you just to step back and think about that statement I just made. Learn how to present the gospel. Now, in reflecting on this topic and in preparing for class, I did a lot of thinking and a lot of thinking back to my journey to being born again. And I'm going to be real honest with you. In my life growing up in church, I don't ever once remember hearing the gospel presented to me the way we're going to learn it. I heard pieces, parts of Jesus, and I heard just enough about Jesus to know he's the one I want. But to be real honest with you, when I was younger, I knew I needed Jesus because I needed some fire insurance. And that was about the depth of it, my understanding. I remember hearing the phrase, born again, but that phrase was kind of taboo in the church I grew up in. We didn't talk about that. We would say Jesus' name, and we didn't really talk about, actually, we never once talked about being born again. So I didn't really know what that meant. So when we talk about and we go through this journey of presenting the gospel, here's what you're going to find out. You're going to find out that there is power in this gospel. There is power embedded in the gospel. And people need it. They need it. They don't need pieces, parts. They don't need part of the package. They need the whole package. From beginning to end. Because there's not a one of us in the history of mankind that doesn't need a Savior. Number one. And thank goodness for Jesus, because he's our Savior, and we're going to talk about how he qualified to be our Savior. Number two, there are people all around us. There's people in this room tonight that are in bondage, that need freedom that this gospel can give. You know, this gospel message, when it's presented with clarity, with conviction, with faith, this gospel message not only has the power to save people, it has the power to heal, and it has the power to deliver. But here's the key. You got to believe it first, number one, if you're presenting it. Number two, the person receiving has to believe. But there's power in this message. And you know, when I was studying through this gospel and presenting the gospel, it's simple. It needs to be simple. But the message itself is simple. It just speaks of the life of Jesus. Now, aren't we privileged and blessed to be able to sit through and to learn together about presenting the gospel? What an honor. Now, at the end of this class, we're going to get to do just that. We're going to present the gospel. Each one of us in this room will present the gospel. And it's going to be beautiful. And it's going to be powerful. And the Spirit of the Lord is going to be just manifested in this room, I'm here to tell you. I already know it, because He already told me. So I'm expecting it. I'm expecting it. Good things are going to happen. Amen? Now, look with me on the first page of your outline here. Your study guide. Excuse me, of your study guide. And I want us to look at this anchor scripture here. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God that produces salvation for all who will believe, to the Jew first, and then to those who are not Jews. Now I want to go back and just look at that. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You ever been in a situation where you felt like you couldn't say the name of Jesus without offending? Have you ever been there? Have you ever been there? I have. So this first opening phrase that Paul wrote, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Well, that means something to me. Because I remember a time in my life when I was. Now, that's a bold statement to say, but I'm being real honest. It was before I was born again. It was before I had a complete conviction and understanding of the Word that there is only one way to get in right standing with the Father. That there is only one way. And that Jesus is the way. You know, you might not know this about me. There was a time that I thought, there's no way that all these good people in the world, all these morally upstanding people in the world, whatever religion or denomination, that God, sovereign God, would let all those people go to hell. You know what? I'm not the only one who thinks that, or used to think that, rather. There are a lot of people out there. There are a lot of people out there that truly buy into that bumper sticker that says coexist. They're all wrong. Every one of them's wrong. I was wrong. I was dead wrong. Dead wrong to the point where I was eternally damned. Dead wrong until I was born again. Until I had a realization that this is absolute truth and that Jesus Christ is the only way. The only way. He said, I am the way. He didn't say, I am a way. I am the way. People need this gospel message. You know, we can be confused, or we can go ahead and put our stamp of approval on things and say, oh, that's a morally upright person. They're good. Look at all the good stuff they do. Look how nice they are. Well, you can be nice and not have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now, I'm going to tell you, I was that person. I was that person. She's nice. She's a good girl. That didn't mean I was saved. I wasn't. People need the gospel message. That's right, gospel. You know what gospel means? Good news. There's a lot of news out there, but it sure ain't good. We're talking about good news. Good news that has the power inherent in it to save, to deliver, to heal. I believe that when people hear this message, you don't have to have hands laid on you. That I believe that message contains so much power, it can just heal. Here's why I believe that. I have account after account after account where I know that it was people's faith that got them healed. You remember the lady with the issue of the blood? It was her faith that got her healed. Her faith in what? Her faith in Jesus. Not her faith in religion. Not her faith in a man. Her faith in Jesus. That's what this good news does. This good news tells about Jesus. Jesus Christ. This good news doesn't talk about denomination or religion or what STC Bible College thinks or what Pete Bumgarner thinks. This gospel, this good news that we're going to learn about and we're going to learn how to deliver tells about Jesus Christ. So we just said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not. I want everybody I encounter to know Jesus Christ. And the only way they're going to know it is if somebody tells them the good news. And you know what? I'm qualified to tell it. You know why? Because I have been born again. Have you been born again? Then you're qualified. You're qualified because you've had an experience with Jesus Christ. Your heart's been changed. You're qualified. So now that you're qualified, let's equip you. So we've talked about the fact that we're not ashamed because of the gospel of Christ. Why? Because it's the power of God that produces salvation. You know what that word salvation means? It actually is a word, soteria. And it means to rescue. It means to deliver. It means safety. Those are pretty powerful words. I want you just to think about that. Rescue, deliver, safety. Are those words that you want? Are those things you need? Do you need rescuing? Do you need delivering? Do you need safety? Well, amen. Yes, I do every single day. You know what? This gospel has the power to do that. Just that. And you know who it is that's doing that for us? Jesus Christ. Now, look at that last part of that second line here in this scripture. It has the power. It is the power of God that produces salvation. Look at this prepositional phrase here. For all who will believe. We can put it out there. There's power in it. But if you don't believe, that power's not there for you. That's bottom line. For all who will believe. Now here's my prayer and hope for you. That as we learn this gospel message, that you will be so convicted inside of your heart that you see the power, that your spirit inside of you just calls out and recognizes the absolute truth and recognizes the power inherent in that truth. So that when you leave these four walls and you encounter somebody that needs rescuing, that needs delivering, that needs safety, you can say, let me share some good news with you. Because I have the answer. He is the answer that can rescue you. He is the answer that can deliver you. He is the answer that provides safety. This is so much more than fire insurance. Way more. Now, look at our theme. Contained within the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power to save the sinner. Look, here we go. This is what this message can do. Save the sinner, heal the sick, deliver the captives, and undo the works of the devil. And that sounds like a pretty good deal to me, does it to you? We must realize the importance of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Without the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, there can be no converts. And if there's not a convert, there can't be a disciple. It starts with the convert, doesn't it? That's where it started with us. And because we recognized the love of Jesus, because we asked Him into our heart, because we asked Him to reign and rule in our heart, we want to follow the one we love. We want to follow the one that loves us. We want to be like Him because we love Him so much. Because we know that His every move was for our best interest and is for our best interest and the best interest of those around us. Now, before we get into the introduction, do you have any? I'm sorry, I'm just going. The gospel can and must be presented in two parts. Now, I really want you to think about this. I really want you to just ponder on this for a minute, and I believe the Spirit's going to illuminate it to you. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the one that saves, the one that rescues, the one that delivers, and then the gospel that Jesus preached. He didn't go around talking about Himself. He can't find one scripture in here where He's tooting His own horn, so to speak. You remember what He talked about and what He taught about? He taught about His Father, didn't He? He taught about the kingdom of God. You see the difference? So here's what we're going to learn. We're going to learn about the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're going to learn about how to present the good news of the one that saves, of the only one that saves. And we got to get that settled in us right now if we haven't already. He is the only Savior. He is the Savior. Both parts of the gospel are vital to the kingdom of God. Absolutely, they're vital, aren't they? But the gospel of Jesus Christ produces converts. We just said this a few minutes ago. You can't have a disciple unless you have a convert. Convert first, then disciple. The gospel that Jesus Christ preached produces disciples. And we can find this in Matthew 24:14. In this study, we're going to focus our attention upon the gospel of Jesus Christ. Everybody good with that? Are you excited about this? I hope you are, because I remember times. I remember when people have said to me before, well, have you ever presented the gospel? They've asked me that question before. Boy, I get real uncomfortable real quick, because I'm thinking, I have no idea how I'd even do that. Do you just talk about the goodness of Jesus? How do you do that? Well, in my mind, several years ago, that was a real valid question because I surely couldn't answer it. Well, we're going to answer that question with this study. The gospel of Jesus Christ begins with His supernatural birth, and it concludes with His supernatural ascension. So you're going to find we're going to talk about important points that we call PowerPoints. But here's what I want to say from the onset of this. We're going to learn what this good news is. But when you're presenting the gospel, the Holy Spirit speaking through you, and He's going to prompt you and tell you what to say and how to say it. But what we're going to do is we're going to raise some foundation. So the Holy Spirit has something to work with to just to pull up from the inside of you and give you the words for. So I don't by any stretch of the imagination want to give you the impression that there is a lockstep formula for presenting the gospel. I don't want you to think that. But what I do want you to understand is when we finish with this study, you're going to be empowered and equipped to do just that, present this good news. Okay? All right. Now.
Before you get into that, it's important that you know to pass this course, you will have to present the gospel. Every student will have to stand before the class and present the gospel. And what we emphasize is basically 8 PowerPoints of the gospel, which you'll see those as we go through the study. And I will tell you this at the very outset, if you don't get your life straightened out, you're going to hell is not part of the gospel. I heard it. That's not good news. You understand? Nobody had to tell me I was a sinner. I knew I was a sinner. Tell me how to overcome these carnal desires and all this stuff. Give me something that I can get out of the hole that I've dug for myself, okay? And so just keep in mind, as you go through this, it's just embedded on the inside of you, that these are the things that you're going to have to cover when you stand up and present the gospel. And I'll tell you this about myself. I'd been pastoring for several years and was invited to India with a good friend of mine. And the first time I went with him, and I was sitting on the platform, and the gospel was presented, I said to myself, I can't do that. I've pastored all these years, and I wouldn't have known how to get up and present the gospel. But I also said this, I will know. And so, from that time forward, every morning I get in the shower, I'd be telling myself these PowerPoints every day. I did that day after day, week after week, month after month, to where if you would wake me up in the middle of the night, they just would come out of me because I saw what it would do. And my friend told me, he said, there's very few pastors that I can trust to present the gospel because their doctrine's not right. And I have come to realize what he was saying, because we get too much denominational influence. And we're not talking about any of that. We're talking about the gospel of Jesus. The gospel of Jesus. Not the gospel of men. Not the gospel of a denomination. But the gospel of the person, the good news of the person, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so this is what this particular study is all about, to where you get it branded on the inside of you. You'd be surprised over the years how many phone calls that I've gotten, and a person would ask me, they would say something to the effect of, so-and-so's been talking to me, they want to get saved. Can I bring them to the office? I said, well, you can bring them, but why don't you get them saved there? If God's dealing with their heart, then step in while God's dealing with their heart. The devil may talk them out of it by the time you get them here. Well, I don't know how. Well, I don't want that to be an excuse for any of you. You get out of this class, don't say you don't know how. Okay, let's get it on the inside of us. Amen.
I have come to the realization that there are many, many people that mentally assent, that agree, that believe that Jesus existed. Some call him a prophet. Some call him an apostle. But how many people actually call him Savior? And there's a big difference. And I wonder, how many of these people that just mentally assent that Jesus existed, how many of them actually know the good news? All of the good news. Not just a pieces part of it. All of it. We're going to learn it.
You know, right in line with what she's saying, the devil believes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he does.
He knows who Jesus is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I mean, he's not bowing his knee, but he knows who he is, okay? So to say that, I believe in the Trinity. I believe in Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. I believe in Jesus. Here's what I'm finding. There's many people that mentally assent to these things. They believe in their head,
mm-hmm.
but it's never got down into their heart. If you're saved, if you're truly saved, there is no doubt in your mind that you're saved. And I am surprised at the number of church-going people on a regular basis are not sure of their salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm telling you, if Jesus Christ is in your heart and you've opened yourself up to the Spirit of God, there's no question in your mind. You know that you know, and nobody can talk you out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time we get through, I want you to know, not an ascension. The Spirit knows. The mind thinks. But the Spirit knows. And when you get the revelation of salvation, you don't fear death.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be something somebody else talks about. You'll just make a transition out of here. Somebody else will be talking about you dying, not you. And we want you to have that kind of assurance.
So let's start with the virgin birth. Now, this is a big deal. It's a big deal, obviously, because it's supernatural. But there are many doctrines, beliefs, denominations, whatever you want to call it, that don't believe in the virgin birth, which is baffling to me. So I want us just to go straight to Luke, and we're going to read in Luke.
Let me say something here while you turn to that scripture. Here's why virgin birth is absolutely imperative.
Oh, yeah.
There is no sacrifice for sin unless it's sinless. There is no sinless human being. Every human being is a descendant of Adam. That means every human being is a sinner by descendants. Not because of what you did, you were born mm-hmm. that way. And so you have sin in your life, so no human being could be the sacrifice for sin. And so without believing in a virgin birth, if you don't believe in a virgin birth, you don't believe there's a sacrifice for sin, or you're deceived if you think your good works are going to do it. The virgin birth is imperative to the gospel. That's where it starts. You have to believe it. Okay?
And you have to believe it, as Pete's already mentioned before, because we need to establish right from the get-go that we all need a Savior. Everybody needs a Savior. And so that leads us directly into who's the Savior? Well, this Savior was born of a virgin. Now look with me in Luke chapter 1, and we're going to read some scripture together. We're going to read several verses, starting in verse 26, and I'm going to go all the way through 38. We're going to read this together. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth.
The 6 month is referring to the 6 month of Elizabeth's pregnancy.
Yes.
Okay.
You remember Elizabeth. You remember her child, right, John?
That's in the same chapter mm-hmm. if you want to read it prior mm-hmm. to this. Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much. So the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel came to her and said, "Rejoice, favored woman, the Lord is with you." But she was deeply troubled by this statement, wondering what kind of greeting this could be. Then the angel told her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Could you imagine? "Now listen, you will conceive and give birth to a son. You will call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary asked the angel, "How can this be, since I have not been intimate with the man?" A very valid question. The angel replied to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." Well, that clears it all up, doesn't it? "Therefore, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And consider your relative Elizabeth. Even she has conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her who was called childless." He's reminding her of the power of the Lord. "For nothing will be impossible with God." Now, her response is just beautiful, isn't it? "I am the Lord's slave," said Mary. "May it be done to me according to your word." Then the angel left her. At that very point, the word came to life. Now, I want you to think about this, because we've read this account, but I want you to have it inside of you. For those of us that have been married and have had children, we know that it takes two, specifically a man and a woman. A man and a woman to conceive. And so I want you to get a picture in your mind of what's happening here. This angel comes to this young girl, Mary. And he says, "Don't be afraid. You're highly favored." Can you imagine? "The Lord sent me to you, specifically to you, and you're going to have a baby. And his name's going to be Jesus." Can you imagine this little girl? She's thinking, "Don't know how that's going to happen, because I'm not even married yet. I've never been with a man. The Lord's got it. Holy Spirit's going to overshadow you. You're going to conceive. You know," she didn't say, "What do you mean? Can you give me some specifics here? Because I don't quite understand that." She didn't go there. She had such a servant's heart about her that she just said, "Be it according to your word." I love the Lord so much. I love God so much. That's what he wants. So be it. Now, there's a lesson in that for us, too. But you think about the virgin birth. So Jesus was born of a virgin. God is the Father of Jesus. That's where it gets a little gray in a lot of churches and a lot of teachings of other people. They think, well, you know, she was married to Joseph. He was from the line of David, so we'll just kind of... It was not a natural birth. We are not talking about a natural birth. We are talking about a supernatural birth. God is the Father of Jesus. I want you to have that so deep in your heart. Thank you. God fathered Jesus. Jesus was born of a virgin. Now this matters. This matters a great deal. Because we needed Jesus to qualify as our substitute. And if Jesus had been conceived by a natural woman and a man, he would have been born with the Adamic nature. And that wouldn't qualify us. He wouldn't be qualified to be the sinless lamb. He had to be born of a virgin. We needed that. You needed that. I needed that because you know why? We needed a Savior. And he was the only one that qualified. Why? Number one, because he was born of a virgin. Number two, and we're going to learn about this a little bit later, he lived a sinless life. So that's a good place for us to stop. When we get back together, we're going to pick up in our study guide.